There we go. I was working on one thing to preach on. I've been working on that for about a week now, thinking it over and writing it down and scribbling it out and writing it again. And I tried to sit down and write it out today, and it didn't work. So we're going to save that one for later, I guess. But I did have this other thing on my mind, so we're going to see if God has this for us tonight. And it'll be in Acts chapter 10. I don't feel like I preached out of the New Testament that much. You know, there was a preacher, so there are two kind of preachers, Old Testament and New Testament. And they favor one testament or the other, and that's the one they preach out of a lot. And I don't particularly have a favorite. I guess the Bible's your favorite, that's a good thing. But there was, I looked through all my notes, and a lot of them have like Psalms, and a lot of them have Proverbs, and some of them have Genesis on it, and a lot of Old Testament. So it's kind of new to me doing it. Or an Old Testament. This one's doing a New Testament, so it's kind of new to me, but we're going to try it out. And I can't hear very well today, so I'm going to try and speak out and hear myself. So if I'm yelling, just go like that. Let's say I'm sure y'all won't do that. But we're in Acts chapter 10, and I tried to separate it up just to try and go down on the reading, but I think we're just going to end up reading nearly the whole chapter, if not all of it. So we're going to go ahead and read chapter 10 of Acts. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. And there was a preacher who once told me he was in a band. That's the way he preached it. He was in a band. But he is not in a band. Just for clarification out there. It says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, evidently, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, Simon and Simon, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Part 2. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. And drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. See, that happens to me sometimes when y'all are making dinner on Sunday afternoon. I kind of feel like Peter in that moment. And when I read this, I'm like, that's it right there. That must be what happens. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake at him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. I'm getting all tongue-tied up here, reading all them names. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto them, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye have come? Ye are come. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. We'll pause there and pray real quick. And I think I can continue it later on. That's probably where I can break it off right there. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us. I thank you for this opportunity to come up here and preach your word. And Lord, I ask that you give me the words to speak on this message. Lord, it was kind of sudden. Lord, I ask you to get it across to the people you want. And Lord, I don't know who's here, who's listening, but Lord, help it come across the way you need it to come across and apply it to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what this really stemmed out of was a lot of thoughts that I had. You hear so much about how God is going to deal with people who have not heard. And they'll make more sense when I read the rest of it. But there's a lot of speculation on how they'll be pardoned or how they'll get a second chance and many others. But I just want to hit this subject real quick and then be done. But a lot of it at work, that's their biggest question to me on, do you believe that if I had never heard, that I would go to heaven? And that's mostly people looking for an excuse not to go to church. And to which I answer, no. If you die right now and if you haven't heard, you're going to go to hell. But at the same time, God, the glory of his creation, declares that there is a God, and so you hear either way. And they just don't accept that answer, but that's just the way it is. But that's the speculation, is that they'll get a second chance or that they have to hear before they die. So if they go long without hearing, then they'll just not die until they're really, really old. That's a lot of people's theory, is that if they keep themselves from it, that they won't hear it. Well, if you're keeping yourself from it, generally, you already know what's going to happen, so you're out of luck anyway. But that's really how it's going to go in a lot of people's lives. And that's a lot of what I hear about now. There's two conversations, and a lot of it has to do with a sin of religion or whether you're going to hear it or not, like the people of the cannibals over in Africa. That's like the number one topic. But how many times in the Bible does God have a hard time reaching somebody? When you read in the Bible, how many people in there never hear of God? Even if they haven't ever heard of him before, they hear him by the end of the story. Does God ever not get to somebody in time, if you will? God pretty much, I think, knows what he's doing. He's been at this long enough. I think he knows what he's doing with all this, and this story proves it. We're going to go ahead and continue reading so that I can get my thoughts together and keep going without having to stop and explain everything here. But it says, on verse 24 is where we stop. It says, and the morrow after they entered in Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. He called everyone together for this. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many were come together. He figured out he was having a little party for them. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Okay, why am I here? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. They're here to hear what Peter has to say. He did what he has to say, and now he's willing to receive whatever it is he has to say. And that was 4 days ago. So, obviously, he sent out the invitations pretty promptly and got everyone there, and he's ready to receive it when it gets there. Then Peter, verse 34, opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, smiley face. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And this seems like a whole lot of useless reading, but it comes together, I promise. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which were heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, not Pentecostal. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which had received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So they wanted them to stick around too, so obviously they were pretty well received. Every day we go through life and hopefully we're dwelling on what's going on, what God is going to do that day. And sometimes, you know, it's something spectacular, but something spectacular is not going to happen every day. But God's word reflects in us every day, and that leaves room for something pretty amazing. He went to this house not knowing what was going to happen, but he trusted and he went and he did God's will, and that's what happened. We've had a lot of focus on salvation lately with the past couple messages, and they're powerful messages, and it just sticks with me and I think about them, and that's what got me thinking on this subject a couple weeks ago, and it's just, you know, festered, if you will, and grown something a lot better. But if you look at the Bible, this is the main topic, is God always has a man. There's always somebody at the right time in the right place doing his will. And we're going to look at a couple key points in this story that kind of tie in what I'm talking about. But you'll see this is the story that really brought it out to me, what's going on here. But we're going to see what comes out to it. You know, maybe someone is seeking God in their life, maybe here, maybe listening. And we just need to follow that direction. But either way, we're going to preach tonight and hope that God uses it the way it should be used. But first, we're going to look at the first point, because we have a three-point sermon. Look first that there was a man devout and seeking God. Cornelius was what we would call a good person. He gave alms, he helped the poor, and even prayed. And God held those in remembrance and heard them. But first, let's see that the man was seeking God, not out there living it up. That's another big point of contention, is where does God reach you? I seen an ad, I forget where now, I was at work somewhere, and there was an ad that said, God will reach you where you are. And there was this guy in a bar sitting at a bar with a beer right in front of him. And I was like, well, that ain't right at all. If you're looking to find God, you can't find him in ungodly places. You got to go to where you need to be. I'm not going to find groceries over in an auto care center where Armor All and everything is there. We have to remember, to get where you're going, you have to know who you are. To get who we're after, we got to know that who we're after is where we're going. It's not something you just did. He did more than attend church a time or two a week. He actively searched and prayed for God. It says in here on the first one, he was a devout man, and they prayed, and he prayed to God always, it says. It wasn't just every time he felt uncomfortable or every time he felt like he needed some more assurance of his salvation. If you will, because that's a big thing, is you always need to pray and get assurance. When it says, but well, that's a whole different subject. But this guy was serious. He was fasting, even. He said he was fasting 4 days ago when this vision came. What you should take from this is, if you're this guy, then it's not something you just happen upon. Salvation is not something you just happen upon. It's a series of events. You have to know that's what you want, and you have to fight for it. You have to talk to God before you can know God and know why you need him and know that you want him in your life, if you will. God is under no obligation to give you this light, but he's given you the option of knowing him anyway. And that's against the big preaching nowadays. We're living in a day nowadays where Joel Osteen can get on there and he preaches awesome. Or he can have a red mohawk and write songs off the whatever version of the Bible you're using and put them in a curriculum. And it's amazing. And you can take a day off church because you're so amazing. That's not how you do it. And that's not how you win souls. This isn't something you gain after playing on your phone or whispering to your best friend at a church service. It's not something you gain by sitting there letting your mind wander to whatever you're going to be doing after church. It's not something you gain after coming to church every Sunday morning just because that seems like what you're obligated to do. A lot of people are Sunday morning church people where they come to church Sunday morning because that's their good deed for the week. Or they need their Jesus for the week, someone told me. They need their Jesus for the week. I said, so you go to church every Sunday morning and say, yep, I need my Jesus for the week. I said, where'd you go the rest of the week? I said, oh, I get enough of them there for the whole week, she said. For the whole week, I get my Jesus. That is not how you find or know Jesus. If I come to his house once a week and say, hey, what's up, Dakota? How are you doing? And he goes, oh, fine. I spent an hour there, and I said, well, I better be going. I got enough Dakota for the week. And I go home. I'm never going to really know him. And really, if he falls off the face of the earth, well, then, you know, I just get one more free hour out of my week. We need to understand that salvation is in or it's out. You don't halfway search for God. If you are a man looking or a woman looking for God, you're not going to find it by half-hearting it. You're not going to find it by talking to everyone else, but not to God. Salvation is between you and God. And in my life, it always seems like there's this man in a different way. He's always there, he's always searching, but he's always searching in the wrong places. Everywhere I go, I feel like there's that one person. At work, there's this one person. And every 6 months or so, they're looking in a different spot and they're into this because it fits better with what they wanted to do over here. It's a 100% thing. It's not a little here, little there, because that's what works for me. It's a no compromise. This is something that you have to discipline yourself into. You have to discipline yourself into salvation. If you let yourself ride and be lazy, you're never going to get saved. This man was not lazy. He prayed every day, it said, which for some people, that's an amazing feat. If you wake up in the morning and you pray, you're doing good. If you pray before you eat, you're doing really good. If you pray before you go to bed, man, gold star for the day. God loves you. You have to understand it's a lifestyle. Everyone likes to use that word, lifestyle change. This is a complete overhaul of your lifestyle, if you will. It's not something you just slide into or you just work into your daily routine. This guy's daily routine was praying. That's why he found God, not because of his almsgiving, though God did give him credit on that, so please do tithe. But it's not that that got his attention. We must push ourselves and yield ourselves to God's power in order to be saved. So that's that man. That's the man searching. That's the man asking God to send somebody so that he may understand. That man was there, the the Ethiopian eunuch was that man searching. And then I believe it was Philip. Was it Philip? Come running up to him. God sent Philip. The thief on the cross was searching. And Jesus was there. Even in that moment of death, Jesus was there. There's always that person, the Ninevites. They were as wicked as they were. God sent Jonah, and they repented for a short time at least. There's always the man that is searching. In all of our lives, we know somebody searching. How are they going to find them? Well, let's look at this other man in here. On the other side, Simon Peter was not on the scene immediately, but he was in the picture. In the previous chapter, I forget the name of the spot. I could probably look and find it real quick, but he'd come up and this girl had died, Tabitha. And he prayed and she came back to life through the power of God. And then he went to Simon the Tanner's house. So boom, 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 there he was. And he came right along. And then there he was. He said that was 4 days. And so that vision came in 4 days. Was he over there 4 days ago? Because I believe it said he was there for X amount of days. And so he was doing that, I believe, while the vision came to the centurion. God knows where we're all at. And this is a man, Peter, that was well versed in the Lord and his works. He spent time with him every day, when he was on this earth and when he wasn't. He was not waiting for God to point him in every direction before he went that direction. He knew God's word. He knew God's work. And God spoke to him, and he worked. We as Christians need to work and reach out to people in our daily life. We shouldn't sit there and pray and say, well, what person would you have me to touch today? What person would you have me talk to today? And then this guy say, hi, I'm not talking to you today. That's not how this works. God goes with us in our hearts if we're saved, and they shines forth without us having to shout from the rooftops. God is needed everywhere and in all lives. And if we don't give it, then who will? Look at Peter in this story. He was on the rooftop having this wonderful vision, still hungry, and here come the guys up there. And the Spirit said, go with these guys. So you have this guy that's searching here and the guy that knows God and knows the ways of God, and two completely different places. This is 4 days apart that he sent these guys, and then 4 days later they find Peter. But now they're all there. God knows what he's doing. And so they come up to him and he goes with them. And he brings them together. So this man would not have went if he was not walking with God first. We cannot expect to be used of God if we're not first following God and learning more about him every day. He was up there meditating on whatever he was thinking about. It probably wasn't food, even though the whole tablecloth thing. He was thinking on the precepts of God, and God spoke to him in that way. And more on that later. That's coming up. So, what's that mean for us? We got that centurion, if you will, in our life. And we just happen to be there with the knowledge of what he needs. And we come across him in our daily life. If we cannot be ready to give him an answer when he asks, then what good are we? You might as well, it's like that salt trodden under the foot of man. So it's not good for anything. It's just not savory. You might as well just not be there. If you, who are perceived, because I don't matter who you are, if they know you go to church and you say one thing about God, you're the go-to person. And if they go to you and say, look, man, I'm having this problem. I feel like, you know, God's speaking to me about this, but I don't know how to interpret it. I don't know, you know, what it all means. I just don't know what it all means. And you say, well, it probably means this, but just read your Bible. Read your Bible, it'll come to you. That was the big answer when I was growing up, was just go read your Bible and God will make it better. Good answer, seeming like, but the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Bible too, and he could not perceive the words that he read. We cannot resort to pat answers when a soul is at stake. We're taking it all too lightly. The Romans Road is amazing. But if you say, here's a Romans Road, go door-to-door with tracts, people don't understand what they're reading. It's just like they're reading an encyclopedia. It's boring, and what do they want to do with it? Nothing. So you have this guy that's searching, and that is actively searching, and wants to know. And they're asking you, how do I know? Well, just read your Bible, it'll come to you. Well, I've been reading my Bible. Well, here, read these passages, it'll make you feel better. Read this passage and see, read it real slow and see what it says to you. God's Word is living and deals with the hearts of men, but the hearts of men cannot discern it without the Spirit of God. We can't expect all our work to be done for us. We're laborers in the kingdom. We're supposed to harvest. You don't harvest by throwing a book at it. You have to take up your threshing thingamajiggy, I can't remember the name for it, and thresh the wheat. Show them what it means, how it means it, and what it means to them. Why it means that. If you don't give the why, people don't care. That's, you know, I've struggled with salvation growing up. I did really bad. I was 14 when I finally got it and got saved. But up until then, I struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and talked and talked and talked to people and talked to everybody. And I was like, what do I do? We'll go read your Bible. I read my Bible every day. We'll go read this passage. Go pray. Go read this passage and then pray. That's just what they told you to do every time. They went, and when they'd read it with you, they say, do you understand it? Well, no. Because all they say is, for God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand that? I guess. I mean, yeah. He died. I can live. That's amazing. Why do I want to? Well, you're going to go to hell if you don't. Well, I don't want to go to hell. That sounds pretty terrible and pretty miserable. I've read about that place a couple times. If you don't preach why hell is a bad place, which is about anything everybody does, without preaching why we need God now, not for eternity, but now and for eternity, then the fear of hell just makes you cry a couple tears and make you do whatever it takes to get out of it. If you're standing, you know, if you got a burning building, you say, now look, if you don't buy this ticket, I'm going to throw you in there. Who ain't going to spend the money on the ticket, even if it's all the money in the world? We have to learn and know how to present the gospel correctly. Or you're making child of hell sevenfold. It don't matter. If you do not explain the gospel correctly, honestly, because you choose to be ignorant in it, how are you even saved if you can't explain the gospel the way it needs to be presented? If you don't know how sweet it is and how great it is to know God now and how good it's going to be for you now, and the perk is you get to go to heaven instead of hell, well, why do I go to hell? Well, because you rejected God. Why do I need God? He's going to get you out of hell. That's not really persuasive. That's what I heard for years and years, and it just wasn't enough to persuade me. You know what persuaded me? A week I read in my Bible, and I read Isaiah. And I read the whole thing. I read Isaiah 64. I can't remember if I'm saying that right. I can't think of it ever when I'm up here. And I read how the children of Israel left and went away and how it recorded all that. And I just looked at it and I said, now why are they leaving again? Why are they going away again? And they explained all that again about how they, you know, why God did this and how God did this for them, because I was reading Isaiah and a couple other books. And it was Old Testament, which is, when you're unsaved, it's like, whoa, way above my head. But there are some passages that just gripped me. And I said, why am I not doing this? I'm doing the same thing. So why? And one time I said to myself, and this was the aha moment, why would you leave such a loving God who wants to help you in your life? I was like, wait, in your life? Because there was long-term promises, but there was blessings while he was there. There was peace while he was there. And he, you know, it was nothing awry while he was there. And you just understood something in that clicked in my brain and made the gears start turning right, that, hey, he's not a get-out-of-hell-free card. You're looking at this all wrong. And every time you heard a hellfire and brimstone sermon, it was just about hellfire and brimstone. And that if you don't want to go there, you better say this. And that's just the way it was. I mean, that's a hellfire and brimstone preacher. And so I just said that, and I was like, okay, cool, that's awesome. Nothing was lifted from my heart. I was still feeling pretty bad, because I was pretty darn scared. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. If you don't know the benefits, if you will, of God now, and how sweet he makes your life now, and that why you need him now, then for one, you're probably not reading the New Testament. And for two, you're not ready for anything. If you don't want God now, if you want God for eternity but not now, then you're not saved. If you want God for eternity but not now, you're not ready to get saved. And if you keep that mindset, you're not ever going to get saved. You can't just have God for X amount of years after you're dead, because there's no years. Peter understood the gospel. He understood the death, burial, the resurrection, and why it was so sweet to have him here now. He understood the fellowship. He understood the relationship that you had to have and why it was so important to live holy. Peter had his slip-ups, but he understood it. And you see it every day. There's this thing going around Facebook now about if you share and comment, we're going to give you all this money or a car. I've seen 3 Jeep Grand Cherokee 2018, fully loaded. It's yours. If you share and comment, we'll do a drawing later. Well, then the drawing day comes. And everyone's like, well, I didn't get a text message today, so I must have lost. Next day, here it comes. Our last person was under 18, so they couldn't accept it, so we're doing this again. And boom, here it comes again. Just boom, boom, a red one, a black one, a purple one, whatever. Everyone just reshares it, recomments on it. But you know what's really sad about all that? Is that not are they just sharing something that's a complete scam, is that they're sharing it with comments like, I really need this right now, or I've had a terrible year, or I really need this to get back on my feet. And they just believe in that one thing on Facebook, hoping in that one thing on Facebook, sitting there counting down the days and the hours and the minutes and the seconds till they draw their name and they get that $100,000 in that brand new Jeep that they probably have to pay taxes on with that $100,000. And they're just looking, scrolling through Facebook, they're scrolling through Twitter, anywhere they can get it, through the internet. That's why internet scams are such a huge deal, because they need the money to get back on their feet, something to hope in, something to make their life better. And they're looking for something to make it better, to hope in, to be comfortable in, to have, that they can say, I've done this, or I've got that now, or I'm okay now, because I think money and stuff is what's going to make it better. And they have no light. If that's the only candle they have, that's going to blow out pretty easy. What would it be like if we just help the world see our lamp? That shines much farther than that candle ever would. That's their light. Our light is so much brighter, and we refuse to shine it most times. Now, we looked at the man in the dark and the man in the light, if you will. There's the two sides of your coin. But notice, lastly, everyone's going to pay attention now, that they were both prepared. Cornelius was spoken to by God to go and fetch Peter. He had that vision. He had been praying. He had been fasting. He had been searching. He had been looking. And then Peter was prepared by God by the vision, referring to cleanliness and commonness. Both prepared at the same time for this purpose in two completely different areas, times, mindsets. They weren't even thinking about it. Peter didn't even realize what that vision meant until he was in there and he went, okay, I know what this is about now. Because he said, you know, it's not really good for a Jew to be in here amongst all these mixed people in here. But God just gave me a vision about this. Now I understand. What happens to you, you may not understand. What you read, what you see, and you think, well, what was that about? You know, and you just chew on it for a little while. Later on the day, week, month, year, lifetime, whatever, it shows back up. And you realize that's what God meant for you, and that's what it meant, and that's what I got to use it for. God makes no mistakes and knows just where you're at. If you pray earnestly, God will answer you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Not all your opportunities, but what God has for you. Truly seek what God wants, and generally you'll find a soul needing a witness. This man, Cornelius, he was searching for God. He knew he was up there. He knew he could hear him. But he just didn't know how to get to him. Peter knew God, walked with God, was been there at the resurrection, everything. But he still needed stuff. He still needed to be prepared for this man. He couldn't just go straight off from the resurrection to this man here to go spread the gospel. The centurion had been searching, obviously, for a little while. But Peter just couldn't jet right off from Pentecost or whatever to go over there. He had to go do several other things, and then, boom, that vision come down. Maybe he was hungry because he was one to imagine that. God worked that out, too. Circumstances, we don't understand that something happens, but that's what it's for. If you're looking for a place to serve, God will give it to you. Peter went to this man, Simon the Tanner's house. I almost called him Simon Tanner while I was up here, but it's Simon the Tanner. And he didn't know what he was doing. He was just lodging with somebody till he went to the next place. And maybe he was on a journey. Maybe he was doing this. But then these guys show up and the Spirit's like, go with them. That's a good idea. Go with them. That's what I want you to do. So ask yourself tonight, which end are you on? Are you like Cornelius? Where you're searching, looking for somebody, looking for God to reveal himself to you in the way that you understand what needs to be done in a way of a radical 180. I almost said 360 again. Or are you Peter, serving and being led? God always has a place, a sermon, a man in place for his will. All you have to do is seek it. And God sends people in your life. God sent people in my life. I was up till like 4 in the morning reading my Bible, trying to understand this. And I've been reading all week. And I was under conviction that night, and I just wanted to get it settled. And I wrestled, and I wrestled, and I wrestled, and I wrestled. And finally, I come out of the bathroom, because I shared a room with three brothers. So I sat in the bathroom reading my Bible. I locked the door. And I walked downstairs. No one's awake. It's like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I walked around. No one was awake. Mom and Dad were asleep. All my brothers were asleep. Elizabeth was asleep. So I walked down to Michael's door, and he had a little light coming out from under his door. I'm like, what in the world? And so I just opened his door because I didn't care anymore. I needed to talk to somebody. And so he was the first guy I thought about. And I walked in there, and he was at his desk reading his Bible. Same book I was. And I said, hey, can I talk to you? He goes, yeah, I just can't sleep tonight. And so I woke up about 2 o'clock and just ain't been able to sleep. And so I said, well, I need to talk to somebody about God. And I said, I'm just not saved. I said, I need to get saved. How do I get saved? And so he went through scriptures with me, several scriptures. And this went on for a couple hours too. And finally, I just gave up and I just cried out and I asked God to save me. I said, I just want to be yours. I just want to be yours. And I've never had a problem since that day. And it's gotten nothing but better since that day. And I read the Bible, and it comes alive, and I see what I need, and I know what I need, and I can share it with people who have a need, and it's just so awesome. But you don't know that if no one shows you what you need, why you need it. Makes you read the scriptures and say, this is why you need it. You'll just never know what you're missing if you're just faking it till you make it. That's another good saying. You can't fake salvation. You can fake it for like a couple weeks, but not very well. A discerning man will know that it's not real. You have to know. Are you willing to go to the less desirable people? Peter went to this man, and he was not a Jew. And most of the people in the room were not Jews. It says right there, they were mixed. And he said, look, I'm not really supposed to go to all these people, a Jew. That's kind of disgraceful. But God said, go to him. Tell him about me. And so he was willing to go. God called us to preach to all people. Not just one certain kind or one certain, what do you call it, class. Middle class, upper class, lower class. But it's far past time that we got together and lived as we ought and be a witness to all people, not just who we want to see saved. We have a tendency to put on an act in front of the people we want to see saved. That's wrong. God desires all men to come to Him. Why would we just put on an act and try and get certain people to come? That actually pushes them farther out. Live as God would have you to live. Learn His Word. Learn the gospel. First off, live it. Live the gospel. It is our life. God isn't done yet, but it's getting mighty close. We're almost done here. Every day should be like super treasured, but here we are just squandering it, doing what we want for the people we want to see saved. And the other people, they just ain't good enough. You know, they ain't never going to come. It's like you say all the time, the people you don't think are going to come usually end up being the best. It's not up to us to choose who we witness to. God puts them in our path, just like He put Cornelius and Peter's and Peter and Cornelius's. A centurion that was not in an Italian band, but he was in a band called the Italians. He was not one that you would say, well, yeah, he's definitely one. He wasn't even a Jew. Back then, that was a huge deal. If you weren't a Jew, it wasn't for you. Right there. It's the same way nowadays. If you don't wear a suit and tie, if you don't wear a button-down shirt, or if you wear a t-shirt with holes in it to church, well, that's the same for you, man. Obviously, you don't got it. It's for him, too. It's more for him. God gives the increase. It's just up to us to sow the seeds. Live for Him just as Christ died for you. What's that mean? When He died, He gave it all. He barely had any flesh on His body. He had nothing but care and love for this world that hated Him. Live the gospel. And the gospel is love. Not the kind of love everyone's preaching around here. Not the kind of love Joel Osteen's giving out, Rob Bell's giving out. That's free love. We need to learn God's love. That's the only way to stand in this world, is in God's love. And it's not that mushy kind. We all know what I'm talking about in here. We need to learn it, live it, and love it. The Bible is not optional. The gospel is not optional. There ain't two and three versions of the gospel to use. We need to learn the one that gets people saved, like the centurion, like the one Paul and Silas had, like that Ethiopian eunuch who read the gospel but didn't understand it. If he'd come up and say, well, read this passage, it'll do better. See you. And just walked on. What would happen to that eunuch? He'd been like, yep, still ain't any clearer. We need to have that willingness of Philip. He ran to that guy. God said, hey, that dude right there. And he's like, whoosh. He ran right up to him. And he showed him. He said, look, do you understand what you're reading right now? Well, no. How can I understand? Unless someone tell me. What if Philip didn't know? We need to know. We need to learn it. We need to live it. The need is more now than it ever has been. The light is dimmer than it ever has been. No one is listening more than they ever have not listened. And we have more listening devices than anything right now. You can listen to everything for free if you know the right website. But no one's listening. The more connected we go, the more disconnected we are. Don't be that person. Be that servant who knows it and is looking to where God is going with you. Don't question what person He's putting in your life. Question why that person is in your life. And live the gospel. The gospel's there to live, and that person's there to see it lived out. You're the only Bible some people ever read. That's very true. The understanding of the gospel that they have when they read it will generally be whatever you are. Live it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day you give us. I thank you for the time that we're able to have, Lord. I know it's jumbled, but Lord, I ask you to put it on the hearts as the way it's supposed to be given. Lord, I know this is so important. I know no one's really hip on church anymore. I know it's kind of getting to be optional, but Lord, it's not optional to me. Lord, let it be part of everyone's life and understand the importance, and Lord, that they would come back to you. I ask you to bless the word. In Jesus' name, amen.